Man, I'm excited to see all the things that our church has done, and I want to echo the sentiment. Sometimes when we just go through life, we pray protection for our kids, or man, we want the next generation to do well. I don't know if you all are aware of this. It didn't make national news, but Chelsea Wallace at Liberty University, there was a threat. There was a threat in her dorm room, but this time security took care of the threat, so it didn't make news. And her life was safe this week. The protection of God, Doc, the protection of God is still available. Well, today I'm not in 1 Corinthians. Some of you say, thank God. We've dealt with some tough stuff. But you know, God is a God that gives. How many of y'all believe that? We worship a God that gives. And I want to tell you, I hope that you're letting this stir up in you. I hope you're letting this stir up. You go to the Gospel of Mark, chapter 12. Some of you were here 15 years ago, and you remember we went through the Gospel of Mark for about 3 years. And we saw many people come to know the Lord Jesus Christ. But in the Gospel of Mark, the writer, he's real boom. If he was making a movie, it'd be a fast movie, action adventure type movie in the Gospel of Mark. I call the Gospel of Mark the Spielberg Gospel. He brings the drama of Christ. And I want you to know that there is a drama in the give, that we have a God that gives and we have a people that give. And I want to thank each and every one of you for being a giving people. You're a giving people here at Hillview Heights Church. And I want you to know, I thank God. I want to tell you some things that are going on. At Betty Lois, it'll really excite me, is the next generation coming in. The next generation. And I think they may have looked at our generation, the one up above them, and we're a little bit stingy. We've spent a lot of money. Would you agree with that? We just spend. We kind of got sidetracked in our generation that if we had a bunch of stuff, we'd be happy. That somehow or another, if we got all the stuff, we'd be happy. Well, we've spent about 50 years running that experiment. And we got all the stuff, and we have a world on antidepressants. I mean, eventually you got to say, okay, did it work? And so maybe life is more than getting, but life is really found in giving. What do you think? Now, this week, how many of y'all got some things to be thankful for? God is on the throne. And we're going to turn it up. We're going to take this year out with the movement of the Holy Spirit. Everybody ready? The movement of the Holy Spirit. Can you all believe it? Next week's the first Sunday of Advent. Yeah. Wow. Boy, this year went quick, didn't it? How many of y'all years go quick? At 8 o'clock, it seems like years go quicker. Amen? I mean, they just go quick. Freddie, you've been retired so long, nobody remembers you working. That's how quick it's all gone. You see what I'm saying? I mean, it's all gone. But you know what? Next Sunday, we're going to echo hope. And the Sunday after that, we're going to echo peace. And the Sunday after that, we're going to echo and proclaim joy. And the Sunday after that, we're going to get ready to receive the greatest gift of all. And that's the love of God through the salvation, the grace and mercy of the Lord Jesus Christ in our lives. Then we're going to gather in here on Christmas Eve. And I love our Christmas Eve service. I just love that moment where we all gather as families. And it's one of those few times that everybody's in here. I mean, babies and diapers and two-year-olds and 22-year-olds and 102-year-olds, and we walk in, crawl in, dragged in, whatever, we're all together. And you see that God has given us all something, and we got a lot to be thankful for. Well, I want to give you some things just today to be aware of, okay? As this world continues to decelerate, you and I are the light of the world, and we need to increase the light. And I think if there's something today for those of us that believe in the Lord Jesus Christ, we ought to be the most hopeful, joyful, peaceful, loving people that walk the face of the earth. So I'm going to give you a line today, and I hope you remember it through the holiday season. The world, it won't be here long, but he who is in you reigns forever and ever and ever. Amen. You ought to be thankful. How many of y'all are thankful to be connected to forever? Now, let's talk about some things we need this week. Let's be prepared for this week. How many of y'all got somebody coming over to your house you already know you don't like? You already know that. Okay, come on. We get together with family. Sometimes that's a difficult day. But I'm praying sincerely. I know y'all start laughing when I talk about this, but I'm praying. Let's start at the house. Let's start right at the house, okay? How can we reach the world if we can't reach our own table? And from our house to the houses that are local, to the city, to the state, to the states, to the world. I believe this, the light that shines brightest at the house reaches the world. We've seen that at Hillview. I was with a group of pastors. This has been pastor week for me, so forgive me if I seem a little off today. But as I was dealing with a group of pastors, they asked me this question. They said, "Ayers, what foreign missions program do y'all have in your church?" I said, "Gospel." I said, "For 23 years at Hillview Heights Church, we haven't talked about reaching the world. We've fallen madly in love with the gospel of the Lord Jesus Christ, and the gospel is global. The gospel is global. Let me explain. Jesus died for everybody. I believe that. You can choose to believe that if you want to, and if you don't believe that, you're just wrong, and that's okay. We're all wrong about something. Jesus died for every living, breathing human. Now, will all those human beings be saved? Nope. Because some of them will decide to be only human. Some of them will be drawn by the Spirit of God. I personally believe this. I believe God bumps everybody. I believe God gives you an opportunity to receive. Now, if you refuse that, then here's what you're saying. You're saying, "God, I'd rather die than live with you." Let's really get down there. I'd rather die than live with you. And we better wake up to that. Because I'm going to give it to you as straight as you can get it. Without a relationship with the Lord Jesus Christ, your time clock is running. In a relationship with Jesus Christ, you have no time clock. How many of you are glad to know? Listen, I don't have a time clock. You don't have a time clock. Many of you are living in the grace of God, but yet you're being confined by a time clock. Who said you were old? You live forever. You're not old, just tired. There's a difference. See, believers don't get old, they just get tired. Their bodies wear out and their spirits go on. How many of you believe that? Jeff, I believe that, don't you? Now, Jeff, not that you're getting old, but you did have a birthday. You're older than you were when you started, true? And Betty Lois, you and Dave, we've got a few seasons under our belt, don't we? Got grandchildren almost adolescents now. When did that happen? I have married children. When did that happen? When I started here at Hillview, Blake could say one thing. Cal jumped over the moon. That's it. Why he said that, I don't know, but that's what he said. His first words weren't, "Mother, Father, I love you." Cal jumped over the moon. What philosophical significance does that have? I've yet to discover it. Life moves, and we ought to be thankful for the life God's given us. I want to start there today. Thanks is important. And I think the longer we live, sometimes we become a thankless people. And we got to wrestle with some things in our culture. First of all, it's not what you get that makes life significant. It's what you give. And every Thanksgiving and Christmas, I look at those that have gone from us. I do. I remember. Marcia, I don't want to make you upset, but I've never had Christmas without Joe Tao. Now, he hadn't been here all the Christmases I've had, but I've never had Christmas without Joe Tao. You'd always know it was Advent season because he had the most obnoxious red-colored sports coat I'd ever seen in my life. Remember, bright red. I know, but it was bright red. I didn't say it's bad. I said it was Joe. I can still see his three. He had three pins, the gold cross-set pins. Cross pins, you remember those? He had the pencil, the fountain pen, and the ballpoint pen. And he wore those with great elegance. And he wanted his church to reach people. He lived long enough to put the church, to see the church go in motion with the Lord Jesus Christ. And I think he smiles as he sees the church he struggled with at times take a year where we saw 574 souls baptized in the name of the Lord Jesus Christ. Now, one of the things, Hillview, I want you to be aware of. How many of y'all think that's going on everywhere? I wish I could be the bearer of good news. But inside the Southern Baptist Convention, inside Kentucky Baptist, we've had our lowest baptismal year in 63 years. Now, Kathy, think about that. You all have to do this with your school stuff. Think how the population has increased in 63 years. I mean, 63 years puts us back when? In the 50s. Jim, 63 years puts us back when people knew what a Studebaker was. And so guess what? We got to wake up, and I want to tell you what you give is important. And that's why I want to take you to Mark 12, because guess what the devil tries to tell you? He tries to tell you you ain't got nothing to give. How many of y'all ever heard that from the devil? You ain't got nothing to give. You ain't got nothing to give. God ain't done nothing good for you. But the Lord says, I'm here. And if Jesus is here, it's worth giving to. What do you think? So two things this week I hope you'll bounce. Be thankful for who God made you to be and see what you need to give during Thanksgiving. It may be a nice hello. It may be you just don't argue with the relative you always argue with. Not that you would argue with anybody, Doc, but you know what I'm talking about. We have some pretty powerful discussions in our family. I love my family. My family comes from many different perspectives, especially politically. And so anytime I want to get a fight going, I just, you know, give a one-liner phrase and my baby sister's in. And we're at it. But I give thanks for her. I don't give thanks for all her perspectives, but I give thanks for her. She gives thanks for me sometimes. We need to give thanks for our families. Amen?
Amen.
We need to give thanks even if our families are not connected to Jesus Christ yet. See how I said that? And so, first thing today, pray that you would be light in the midst of darkness. Tell them about Jesus. Tell them what you've experienced this year. How many of y'all have had a good year in spite of yourself? Yeah. How many of y'all have seen good things in spite of what went on? Tony, I look at you. You're here. Tony's here. Tony's been a witness in my life already. Had a stroke and was at church 3 weeks later. Some of y'all have missed a month over your hair being out of place. He had a whole stroke. And that shows me what? That this faith is worth rolling in for. Guess where else he's at? Jim, guess where else Tony goes? Bible study on the third floor. He says, we got an elevator. This man is showing us something. Quit looking at what you don't have and start using what you do have. Man, that's a powerful line. If every one of us would do that, if every one of us would do that, guess what? God could bless us immensely. Am I using what I have? Now go to Mark 12. Now it's an interesting chapter in Mark 12. Mark 12, we get the greatest command of all. Love God with all your heart, soul, mind, and body, and love your neighbor as yourself. God says, this is what I'm all about. He gives us a warning. If you'll go up before verse 41 and you look, he gives us a beware. He said, beware of the religious. The scribes. And let me show you an attitude that you don't need to have this year. How many of you all will welcome them gladly? How many times have you heard that in Scripture? And he welcomed them what? He didn't just welcome them, he welcomed them what? Gladly. Let's keep that up, church. And look what he says. He said, now beware. Verse 38. Beware of the scribes who like to walk around in long robes. And like greetings in the marketplace. Y'all know anybody like that? Oh, we got them in Bowling Green. There's certain people in Bowling Green when they walk in, if you don't recognize them immediately, they'll have a hemorrhage. You know, do you know who I am? No, not really. See, that's really not the question. Do you know who he is? See, that changes life. Not do you know who I am. Do you know who he is? And they have the best seats in the synagogues and in the places of honor at the feast. Who devour widows' houses And for a pretense, make long prayers. They will receive the greater condemnation. I'm going to tell you right now. If all you have is a form of religion without the grace and mercy and the love of God, it's useless. That's one of the things you see going on in our nation. This bumper sticker faith is falling apart. That excites me because it's no faith at all. One of the reasons you see churches declining is because the bumper sticker mentality won't hold up when the real heat comes on. But you see, I got good news. Jesus will. And so we must stay anchored in Christ in all that we do. So Jesus kind of gives this warning, and then he finds himself in the synagogue. Let's look. And Jesus, verse 41, he sat down opposite the treasury and watched the people putting money into the offering box. Now, I know some of you, when anytime the scripture mentions money, you go, that's none of your business. No, it's not. Who's sitting watching the offering box? It's his business. I fully agree with you. I got tickled. Somebody accused me of always preaching on money. Tell they've never been here. Look at the BAM team. They go, the BAM team's out of the way. Reb, you might need to say something about this. That we've had some tense moments with that. You know what I believe? If the God that saved your soul, who brought you out of a wretched hell, who redesigned everything in your life, and you're claiming to be full of the Holy Spirit, if 10% bothers you after all that, you probably don't understand all that. See, that's the bottom line. We give because we've been remade. I don't know about you, but without grace, I'm selfish. How many of y'all without grace, you're selfish? But in grace, I want to share. See, the response to Jesus is not it's mine, it's his. You see the difference response? But those who are religious, it's always mine. And the more I'm around them, the more I get tickled because they talk about their faith, my Bible, my church, my this, my that, my opinion. And I laugh. I said, wait a minute, I thought it was about him. I thought it was about him. I thought it was really about who? Jesus. And be careful because I want to tell you something. That's the first thing. Remember, it's always about him. God put your family together. Thank him for it this week. Pastor Ayers, you don't know what's going on in my family. With all love and due respect to you, I don't think you know what could go on in your family. Does that make sense, man? You know what I'm talking about? Instead of looking and saying it's over, maybe it's just beginning. Young people, I thank you, man. Listen, we got some 20-somethings and early 30-somethings in this church that get it. They get it. I was a little woeful there for a while. For about 5 years, I was woeful. I was getting all these reports about how, you know, these young people. Now, and then I met a group of young people. They got visions and dreams, and they're making a difference. And guess what? They're carrying their babies in here, and their preschoolers in here, and their elementary kids in here. And they want them to know things spiritually. I think we're on the moment of an awakening if we just hang on. Because you know what we're going to find out? If we just do it our way, it never works. That's what's going on in the nation. It's not about politics. It's not about political parties. It's not about a man. It's not about a woman. It's about this. We've decided that we can do it better than God, and we're discovering in reality we don't do it better than God. That was the problem with the scribes. They knew more than God that wrote the book. They wanted to be recognized. And Jesus just wanted to give. Now, who's watching the treasury? Jesus. Now, here's what's so funny. He already knows what you got. And watch this. Now, hear me when I say this. It's not about your amount. It's about your heart. How many of y'all realize that we're still not giving as a church what we could give? One of the things that I love is this. Did you see that we feed over 800 families plus a year? So we're not doing a big Thanksgiving feed this year. You know why? We do it every week.
We want to do things that really make a difference. Every week. Sunday through Sunday. Isn't it, Mark? Did y'all realize in this moment of history, for the first time since Mark and the gang and our staff's been together, Shane, for the first time at Hillview Heights Church, the pantry has run dry 4 times this year. Folks, we got people in need. You know why? It's not working. You know why it's not working? You can't be on the take and have life. And every educator in here knows I've told the truth because y'all got to deal with it every day. Are people on the give or on the take? They're all on the take. But let me ask you a question. If we're all on the take, what happens? Come on, think for a minute. If we're all on the take, what happens? You'll run out. Jesus knew this. It's not about what you take. It's about what you give. Now, check this out. If you're on the give, you ready for this? Some of y'all know I'm telling the truth. And it's crazy. Young people get this. This is crazy economics. If you're on the give, you never run out. If you're on the give, you never what? How many of y'all have never run out? Now, watch this. How many of y'all been close? But how many of y'all never run out? Hold on, I got folks in here that, watch this, I'm going to blow some of our young people's mind. How many of you all were either a child or an adult in the Depression era? You remember the Depression of this country. I mean the real Depression. A real Depression. Where what were you concerned about in the Depression? Whether you had a 65-inch high-definition TV or a 30-inch high-definition TV. What were the concerns in the Depression? Am I going to eat? How many of y'all found out God supplied your needs even in a difficult time? Now, one of the reasons I think like I think is I come from a man and a woman that came out of that era. And so their whole life history says, you know what? It is better to give unto God because God supplies our needs. When they hear that verse of Scripture, that's not a bumper sticker. That was a reality. That's the way they ate. God supplied our what? Needs. How many of y'all believe God will still do that? Well, there was a widow that believed that. Mark, I believe God's going to supply our needs. Now, guess how he does that? If everybody in the church is obedient unto God and tithes what God has given them, what happens to our church? We're able to bless the community. If people don't tithe, guess what? It limits our ability to bless. Does everybody understand that? So here's some of the things we're going to be focused on in the new year coming. First of all, we want to make sure as many people can be connected to the gospel as that can be connected to the gospel. Man, I praise God for 574 baptisms. You know what? But I'm crazy. Dr. Blevins, I know you got this heart for evangelism. I believe it could be 5,000. I mean, I really do. Now, that's going to wear a lot of people out, and we're going to have a lot of people help baptize. Y'all still have not accomplished this. I want to see Jamie float in the baptistry. I want to see him. Now, he's been working out, and he's been making it happen, but I want to put a little life jacket on him, Snoopy life jacket. And under his robe and just wear him out. He's got to baptize so many people he just passes out. Not drowns, but floats. Wouldn't that be cool? That'd be a cool story, wouldn't it, John? I'd like for that to make some religious paper. Drug pastor out of baptistry, passed out from exhaustion of God's work. Saying I'd love to pass out because my body couldn't keep up with what God was doing. Now, look at here. I'm going to ask us to have the attitude of the widow no matter what happens. Now, some of you may ask me, well, what about in economic times, difficult economic times? Tithe. Now, I'm going to be really confessional here. When I first came to Hillview, it's a little tight. I get tickled. Some people ask me now, they go, well, what does the church do for you? I say, where were you in 1991? I needed you to be concerned about my salary then, and I heard nothing from you. Amen. If it helps you, I could have got me one of them cards. One of them credit cards you get stakes on from the government. I was eligible. And I looked at Elizabeth, and I remember, Elizabeth, you remember this, it was a long time ago now, but I looked at you and I said, now, Elizabeth, I think the time that we're giving includes in the tithe. And I gave her this big rendition. She looked at me and she said, well, now I understand how you're thinking, but you're thinking wrong. She said, that's not what it said. So I went, well, we may go broke. She said, we were broke. Or she looked at me, she said, you were broke when I married you. I said, what are we going to do if we go broke? She said, honey, have you ever missed a meal? I said, no. She said, have you ever not had a place to lay your head down? I said, no. See, what I was worried about, Jerry, it wasn't my bed, and it was my boat. Remember, Elizabeth? So finally, I came in a couple months later. I said, honey, I'm willing to sell the boat. And she started laughing. She said, God ain't going to make you sell the boat. I said, how do you know? She said, therapy costs more than the boat payment. Now, Elizabeth's smart. Elizabeth's smart. Y'all saying amen. And so I'm kind of looking, she said, but I'm going to tell you what. Now you've lined up because you needed to be willing to do whatever it took to make it happen. How many of y'all realize that God comes through when you get willing? Giving's about an attitude. In church, you've been a giving church. Guess what? Hallelujah. You know how thankful I am as the Pastor Maurice? Guess what we just had? Our only business meeting. And nobody's kung fu fighting. Hallelujah. But you know what? Because there's got to be a spirit to give. I want to make you aware of some things. Pastor Shane, God brought Pastor Shane back with us out of the desert, served our country. Brought him back. I want you to hear what's going on. Amen. I want you to hear what's going on, man. Church on Main, with the sacrifice of Billy Lowe and several of you in this room at Church on Main, which used to be Emmanuel Baptist Church, 3 years ago, we partnered with First Baptist Church in Bowling Green. That's pretty cool, isn't it? That freaked everybody out. Did Hillview Rock and Roll Church and First Baptist Pipe Organ Church would come together to do something great for the Lord. You know why we could work together? We have the same attitude. Well, let me tell you what's happened. Pastor Shane, on Tuesday nights, has seen over 85 children and young people at the Church on Main hearing about the love of Jesus Christ. No, that ought to be thank you, Jesus. Because you know what? That's when the group of people that everybody leaves out. I like Pastor Shane. Politicians talk about the poor. Pastor Shane goes and loves them in the name of Jesus. He says, you know what? And guess what? Shane got a great message down there. You ain't got to be poor no more. They've never heard that. I was riding with one of Shane's students, a senior at Warren Central High School, a fine young man. He's in the truck, and he goes, Pastor Coach Ayers. I said, yeah. He said, I'm going to make it, aren't I? And I said, Jordan, you are, because there's a risen Jesus. And you're listening, and God's going to give you a way out. Now, Hillview Heights Church, let me tell you what, that's what you're giving to. And this widow knew Jesus. She walks. I just want to tell you, everybody's got something to give. I want to tell you, everybody's got something to give. Even when you don't have much to give, I just simply want to tell you, give what you have to the Lord. Kathy, it may be an hour to help them fill up the cups for a children's event. But I want you to know the church is larger now. And sometimes in a large church, the devil says, they don't need my help. Well, I want to tell you, none of this happens unless everybody's in. Everybody's got to get in. Doesn't Thanksgiving go better when everybody's in? Watch this, Lisbon and I have been married now almost 3 decades. Almost. And you know what we're just now learning? Working together makes things easier at the house. Sue Jack learned that? He's two decades ahead of me. How long did it take him? How many decades? 49 years, Jack, it took you. Don't you love it how Sue so eloquently confesses for you with no problem, Jack?
Yeah, but you know what? We're learning the word together. Betty Lois Elizabeth wanted to have closet cleanup day yesterday. I hate closet cleanup day. I haven't done closet cleanup day before. She usually raids my closet, but she threw away my worn Central High School football jersey one time. I had to go dig it out of the, it was a t-shirt that I had in high school. She says, honey, you can't even get in that shirt. I said, memories. I said, one day I'm going to hand this to my grandson and say, look at what a stud your granddaddy was at one time. And he'll say, you wore this? But you know, we did it together. Mark, you've heard me really weakly tell you this dream. What would happen if we were all just together? You know, here's a widow that looked like she wasn't together. In Jim, she had it more together than those who looked like they had it all together. Look what happens. Jesus watched the people. Some of them had a lot of money. Many rich people, not some, put in large sums. Well, man, I thank God for those of you that have prospered. Guess what? If you prosper a lot, guess what you need to do? Tithe. If you haven't prospered that much, guess what you need to do? Tithe. Now, here's what I want you to know. Jesus does not look at some. He looks at faith. Now, this is interesting. God is the only place, Jim Brick, correct me if I'm wrong, and I'll stand corrected from my sage. Jesus is the only place where equality is achieved. Because Jesus doesn't look at amount, he looks at heart. We look at amount. Jesus doesn't redistribute wealth, Jesus blesses all with wealth. Make sense? Because you know what? We need people that prosper that tithe, and we need people that prosper a little less that tithe. If we all gave something, and this is the question I'm going to leave you hanging with. If we all gave something, especially coming on this Thanksgiving week, what would our community look like? Those of you in education, man, I want you to have a church where you ain't got to worry about kids being messed up. You say, well, church and state can't work together. I ain't listening to that hogwash. Who said? Wouldn't it be great if our teachers could call up and say, hey, Pastor Mark, and they do sometimes, we got an issue with a family, we need help. Boom, there it is on the spot. You know how that happens? If we all give what we need to give. Make sense? Look at here. And a poor widow came in and put two small copper coins, which made a penny. This passage of scripture has always amazed me because I preached this sermon one time. Never ignore the copper. But we're not copper people, are we? We're what? What if Visa had released the copper card? Huh? Some of you in the 80s, you remember Visa what? Come on, fess up. What? I've told y'all this before. How many of y'all remember the first time you got a gold card? Mine was fool's gold. But yeah, you got a gold card. We don't have a copper card. But Jesus says, you know what? Jesus says, I'm a God that transforms everything. I'll turn your copper into gold. Pretty cool, isn't it? I'll turn your copper coins into an amazing event. So here's what I wanted you here today. Don't you ever think you don't have something to give. Because whatever you give unto Jesus is a greater blessing than you can imagine. Sometimes it's just two copper coins. Costa Rica taught me more about giving than anybody. I still remember the day, all day long, Angela, all the kids, you have those moments. They were fired up. They were like, Pastora, Pastora. I said, yeah, we have big meal, big meal. Mucho grande food. Man, I'm thinking steak. Timmy, I got one of your feasts in my mind. You know what I'm talking about? You know what it was, Brad? It was rice. With hot dogs in it. I thought to myself, oh God, what a miserable human being I am. I'm with a people so rich that they can turn rice and hot dogs
into a feast. Oh, God, what do I need to learn? Two copper coins. Jesus is watching, and she drops the two copper coins and goes on, and he called his disciples to him, and he said to them, truly, if you're in the King James, verily, verily, I say unto you, this poor widow has put in more than all who have contributed to the offering box. For they contribute out of their abundance, but she out of her poverty has put in all she had. I'm thankful that Jesus Christ came into the world. And we're going to celebrate that all Advent. I'm thankful that Jesus Christ in 1990, back in the 20th century, before there were iPads and iPhones and cell phones could be used as a weapon. Remember the big brick cell phones when God came? I'm glad Elizabeth and I got called to a copper coin church. Where the Sunday school rooms were closed and it hadn't been painted in a long time. And guess who I met that was left? Donna. The spirit of a widow. And they met a mullet-wearing 26-year-old wild man who was convinced that Jesus could change the world. And they said, we ain't got no money. I said, all right. For the first time in my life, guess what? I didn't know where the money was going to come from. I knew Elizabeth could work a lot of jobs. I was confident of that. And Elizabeth, I say this to you, and I thank you. If my wife hadn't worked, Hillview would have never been. So some of y'all that want to get on your little James Dobson, little holy train, God works in mysterious ways. And he's not a 1950 God. He's a forever God. And, you know, Sister Debbie worked in the Bible and Priscilla worked in the Bible. And before you need to make comments on other people's lives sometimes, guess what you might ought to do? You might, like, read the Bible, all of it, not just the one verse that you want to flash up at somebody, but all of it. Many women worked along Jesus' side while he was ministering. This widow, a widow, Mark. Guess what? She didn't have anybody left for Thanksgiving dinner. But she had enough to live. Jesus. You know what she did? She dropped two copper coins in. And guess what Jesus says? You've given all you had. And you know why I think Jesus recognized her? They were the same. Jesus gave all he was. And he sets for us the spirit of giving and thankfulness. I want to tell you from the bottom of my heart, I thank God for Elizabeth. And you know what, though? I thank God for Hillview Heights Church. And sometimes I think we need to pause and say, you know what? Are we a perfect church? Absolutely not. Do we have problem people that attend here? Absolutely. Is the pastor sometimes says the wrong thing, especially the lead pastor? Yes. But you know what God does? In spite of our imperfection, God brings through his perfection. And as long as we got the heart of God, it'll take care of the Hillview, I want to thank you for one thing. Thank you for not being a bunch of scribes that walk around in your long robes all over Walmart wanting people to recognize you. I hear the things we do. Let's keep doing them. Amen. Thank you for a budget. I thank God for Pastor Mark, and I thank God for the way that you all do things. I just want you to know on our team, I would love to consult any of our government officials to show them how to run their organization on what they have. That's what we've done at Hillview Heights Church for 23 years. If you're in business, thank God we have business people here that are on our team, very qualified. We've run flatline budgets here. more than once. And not only, Andy, have we run a flatline budget, we've grown in that year with the things of God. There we go. I'm glad you all didn't flinch. There will be a trumpet one day, and if you're a believer, you should have no worries. Now, if you're not a believer, that's a bad trumpet. It's over. But guess what? I want you to know, I just want to encourage you to give. If you haven't tithed yet, learn to tithe. Am I going to ask you about it? Nope. Because I don't sit at the treasury. Jesus does. Any of you all been around me long enough, I don't get in his business. I can't draw you to salvation. I can tell you you can be saved, but I can't make you understand that. Only Jesus can do that. And I can't tell you to give. I was so thankful when our church got out of all this campaigning business, all this jazz. Goodness, used to wear me out in the church. You know why? I mean, United Way, you need to do a fundraiser. That's not a Jesus organization. In a Jesus organization, for those who believe, giving is an automatic response. So ladies, as you make that turkey on Thursday, guess what? Do it with great joy. You don't have to make it, you get to make it. Your kids don't have to come over, they get to come over. Your grandchildren that are going to tear up your house, praise God that they do. Embrace them. Because guess what? One day that house will belong to somebody else. And it'll come quicker than you think. So use it well while you're here. Amen? And give as much as you can till we give on. Hillview, thank you for being a giving church. I stand amazed at what God's done. But I want you to know, Donna, you can back me up. The spirit of copper coins is what started this church. And let's never lose that spirit. Everybody's got something to give. A dime blessed by God equals millions. You say, you really believe that, preacher? What's this? Everybody tithe one Sunday and see what happens. Everybody tithe one Sunday and see what happens. But I want to tell you something that I thank God about. We got young couples, and guess what they talk to me about? Tithing. What's interesting, the young couples of the baby boomers, they never came and talked to me about tithing. But these 20-somethings, they said, Ayers, what's our biblical responsibility? Gross or net? I said, go pray, he'll tell you. I said, but I will tell you what I found. All I can tell you is what I found. I've never outgiven God. Have y'all? But I can tell you this, I've seen God give through us, amen? All right, so what's the deal at Hillview? How many of y'all are thankful that grace and mercy is available? How many of y'all need to remember the copper coins? So let me leave you with this. Thanksgiving's coming. They're coming over. That aunt will be at your house. That uncle is coming. But guess what? I don't want you to miss the copper coins in the holiday week. You know what the greatest gift is sometimes? I mean, check this out. At Christmas, somebody remembered the AA batteries. And at that moment, that's what, Maurice? The greatest gift. Because the toy doesn't work without the what? Batteries. Thank you all for your giving. Thank you for such a wonderful year. Thank you for being the people you are. I pray a blessing on each one of your Thanksgivings. Welcome your family. If you're traveling, be safe. Amen. But embrace it. I'm going to encourage you. I can't tell you what to do, but I'm going to encourage you. Please don't spend your Thanksgiving in a parking lot of a retail store. And all of our retail folks, listen, retail folks. I'm not getting on you. If you want to do that on Friday, hey, that's your business. But on Thursday, can't we have one day, just one, where we actually reach out and touch human beings? I think they're calling it, what, Brown Thursday now. Yeah, I read that in our history. And the pilgrims went and stood before Best Buy waiting for the latest sundial to come. Let's love one another as Jesus loved us. Here's the greatest love of all. Nobody here has to be without heaven. Let's talk about giving. Jesus stretched out his arms. He folded his feet. He submitted to the world. He took three nails of death and a spear in the side. His head fell and the world changed. It looked like all was over, copper coins. But on the third day, Jesus took death and turned it into life. And you know what I'm thankful for? Most of you in this room have that in your life. And if you have that in your life, guess what? No matter what happens, it's all going to work out. If you don't have that in your life, I don't care how long your robe is, how fancy your car is, how big your house is, how wonderful your bank account is. I don't care if you got one of those American Express unlimited credit limit cards. Barry, you know you told me. There's a room full of your trophies waiting to be sold for $2.50. And that's only if Barry helps pack them to the truck. So you know what I do? Instead of looking for my trophy, I would receive his and let God's glory. Let God's glory, let God's mercy, let that be enough. For the shame and the scorn of the cross he endured so we might have life. Wonderful, marvelous, merciful thanksgiving. Let's stand together. If you need to receive Jesus Christ, your Lord, come on. Be thankful. You really want to understand thanksgiving? Well, understand salvation. If you haven't been a giver, you know what? This would be a great time to come to the altar and just kneel down at the altar and say, you know what, Lord Jesus? Show me how to give. Give through me. Ask God to give. I think we ought to, Lord, give through me. Lord, you know what I have. You know what I am. You know what I'm not. But give it through me. And let's see God do some wonderful things. Amen. Amen. Y'all ready to get back here next Sunday? Now listen, turn it on. I'm going to ask you to pray. Listen, you got a friend that needs to hear some hope. How many of y'all think some people need to hear about hope today? Y'all listen to the news. Listen, if you're not depressed, do 10 minutes of the news and you'll need a bottle of antidepressants, okay? Because we only report bad news. Bad news sells. God's news is trying to be silenced, but it won't be. You try to throw God out, he'll show up in a manger. You try to keep God out of Hollywood, guess what? He'll shine his own star, Jim. You try to tell God he's going to stay in the dirt, and guess what? He'll rise again on the third day. You can't shut him up. You know why? He is who is, Keith. And he is the one that is right now, and he is the one to come. And that's why beautiful little girls get drawn to Jesus, and their sins are forgiven, and they come up out of baptistry. Bob, you were right. You were theologically correct. She is risen from the dead. Because you see, in our sin we are dead, and in the mercy of God we've been brought to life. How many of y'all? Man, I'm thankful that we don't have to die. Pray with me. Lord, thank you for such a great day. Thank you for a cold, clear morning that reminds us that even though winter is here, God's power is available. Lord, we thank you for the harvest. We thank you for the food that you've provided. We thank you for the homes that we have. We thank you for the vehicles that we drove in. Lord, we thank you for the people we get to meet. We thank you for the uniqueness of each individual in this church. We thank you for the jobs that we've been given. And if we don't have one, the one that you might give us. Lord, we thank you for our students that are studying diligently and taking the gifts and the talents and in putting them into life. Lord, we thank you for those that have been married this year and those who've gotten engaged and those who are coming together to form new families. Lord, we thank you for the ladies that are with child. And we thank you for the children that have been born. And Lord, as we go through our age of time, may we give what we have. And if it's copper, God, we'll trust you make it work. And if it's gold, May we give it without regret. May we be who you've made us to be and be confident that you will be God. Amen. This altar's open. If you don't have a relationship with Jesus Christ, come. We want to see God save you in the name of Jesus. If you've never been baptized, this is a great time, Sunday of hope, to be baptized. If you've never been baptized as an adult, making that decision on your own, come, let's pray for people to be saved this Advent season. Amen. Amen.